To conclude our Keys Without Lock series. Has anybody enjoyed this series? Hasn't it been good? We've explored different keys without locks. And how good, how useful, how effective is a key that has no lock to unlock? Worthless, right? So that's why I've entitled this series this way. And we have based it on the story, the narrative in John chapter 5, where there were all these sick people. I'm just going to summarize to kind of flesh out the basis, scriptural basis by which we are approaching this title of the series, where all these sick people were desperately sick, the blind, the lame, who couldn't walk, the paralyzed, and on occasion, from time to time, an angel came down from heaven. Can you just imagine it? I bet it was a glorious sight, especially for those that were gathered around. And I've got to believe it was something like Black Friday. You know, people sleeping in tents to wait for this, for the doors to open. But in this case, for the angel to come down and stir this pool there in the midst of them. And the first one to get into the pool and be washed with the water would be the one that would be healed completely of whatever ailment or disease or physical disability or impediment they had. Now, that sounds good at face value until you start thinking who the people were, for the most part, that were gathered around that pool. The blind. I mean, the blind can hear the stirring of the water, but they can't really see what's going on. The lame can't walk, much less run to the pool. And, excuse me, the paralyzed, well, they're plumb out of luck because they can't crawl their way. They, you know, their limbs are ineffective. So really the people that got to the pool were those that were not so unhealthy, right? They had maybe a minor shoulder problem, maybe just minor knee pain, a hangnail, a headache, not downgrading headaches, not downplaying them. But we all know that the healthier ones were the ones that made it to the pool. And hence the point that I've been making week in and week out. And that narrative is a sign. It was a judgment to the people around at that time against religion that offered everything to people who didn't need much and offered absolutely nothing to those who really needed something from God. All right, so let's continue this Sunday. And once again, we're going to conclude after today. Okay, so Psalm 55, let's begin reading in verse 6. And I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you, God, for these keys without locks, and the fact that Jesus, you are He. The book of Revelation chapter 3 verse 7 says that who holds the key to all of God's resources. You are only He who has a key to all the locks of life's problems, God. And we submit ourselves to you and we give you glory. Father, anoint my tongue, my heart, my mind to speak effectively this morning and minister to your people's needs in Jesus' name. Amen. Who remembers the commercial? Calgon, take me away. Oh, yeah. Can you raise your hand if you remember it? Our young folk don't quite remember it. They're missing out. Now, it's a commercial about this lady that's just frazzled, isn't she? And she's pulled in all different directions. The phone's ringing, the kid's crying, somebody's, you know, knocking on the door, and she's just had enough of all this all at once. And she says, "Calgon," which was a what? A bubble bath, right? "Calgon, take me away." And then the next scene, you see her in the tub, and she's just enjoying peace and enjoying rest. Okay, now let me ask some of us here, well, all of us really, how many of you have ever just wanted to call a timeout on life and just get away from it all? This commercial presents this product that enables people to get away from it all, the hustle and the bustle. And if you want to read here again in Psalm 55, verse 8, I would escape, or I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. I think there's something in all of us that when the going gets rough, that sometimes we wish we had an escape to paradise, an escape to peace, an escape from it all. Right? How many of you ever, I often reference social media, how many of you have you ever scrolled through your news feed on Facebook and you see all of these photos of paradise? And then the caption that the person posting those photos, it says, I wish I could be here now. Or I wish I could sink my toes into hot sand that's moist. Right? And they have photos of the Caribbean. They have photos of the Cayman Islands, the Grand Caymans. And they're saying, man, this beats my dumpy life right now. You know, there's this knack, church family, that all of us think that somehow, listen carefully, somehow the grass is always greener on the other side. And I don't want to go move and live there, but I want a slice of that greener grass. Right? We escape. Now, there are different means of escaping. You know, you can escape to a place. Right? You can escape to a place. Or maybe you have as your target to escape is another face or another space. Places, faces, and spaces. Let me say that again. Places, faces, and spaces that we try to escape to from our present reality. We try to escape to places. I just alluded to that. Other faces, I wish I could be with this person. I wish I could be with that person. Or I wish I could be in my own little space away from all the craziness. And can't life get hectic? And can't life just seem like a rat race? The only problem with life becoming a rat race is that you and I are not rats. We're children of God, and God never meant for life to be that way. Excuse me. God never meant for life to be that way. God meant for life. Listen carefully. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more what? Abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10, second half of the verse, right? I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But does that mean that we have to relocate for life to be better? No, well, in some cases, in some drastic cases where there's abuse or there's, torture or whatever, yes, you have to relocate. You have to get away from all that craziness. Amen? But for the most part, all things being equal, church family, God meant for life to be lived where we currently are. I'll say it a different way. Bloom where you are planted. Isn't that what God wants us to do? To bloom where we are planted? You know, the story's told about this kid that was a farmer's son, and he helped around the farm, helped his dad, but on his free time, you know, during the summer, they didn't live near any public swimming pool or theaters or playgrounds. They were just out in the boonies. And so the kid was bored, and the dad said, you know, son, why don't you take up a hobby? Let's say, why don't you take up archery? So the kid said, okay, that sounds good. And the dad said, why don't you just shoot arrows? You can paint a big target on the side of the barn and shoot at it and practice it. Well, the kid said, okay, that sounds like a good idea. So one day the farmer was coming in from the field, and he sees all these arrows and all these different targets and the arrows on the bullseye of every single one of the targets. And he said, there's no way my kid's gotten that good in such a short period of time. So he walked in the door. He said, hey, son, how did you get that good? The kid said, oh, that wasn't hard, Dad. I just shot the arrows, and wherever they landed, I painted the target. I painted the target around them. But isn't that kind of what we do? You know, wherever we shoot our arrows of, let me say it this way, our happiness-seeking arrows, wherever they land, we draw our target around that. We don't strive for God's best. We don't aim for God's best. We, instead of aiming at God's bullseye for the best of our lives, we just shoot our arrows at random, and wherever they land, that's where we try to derive happiness. You know, happiness cannot be found in the bottom of an alcoholic bottle, right? They cannot be found, obviously, in a syringe, in a needle. They cannot be found in illicit relationships. It's getting quieter as I keep going on. They cannot be found in a myriad of things, church family. Now, my family, that is sad. Those are all keys without locks, because what are we trying to do? We're trying to escape from reality. Can we talk about that? Can I go a little further with that? Is that okay? You know, I think sometimes we feed our imaginations way too much about a life that is not based on reality. We feed it fantasy. We don't feed it reality. How many of us know that our God equips us to live in the real world on a day-by-day basis? Let me first say, there's nothing wrong with taking a vacation and enjoying a great vacation wherever you want to go, or jumping out of a plane and splatting on the ground. No, oh, wait, did I just say that? No, we'll just pray and fast that all be well. But there's nothing wrong with vacations. But church family, how many of us know that if that's all we long for in life is escape, a place of fantasy, Fantasy Island. How many of you remember that back in the 80s? Church family, let me break it to you. It does not exist. Okay, you can fan yourself now. I know that's a hard pill to swallow. Let me tell you, baby, I've been to Hawaii. Hawaii is glorious. It is heaven on earth, but is not the source of my happiness. I don't miss Hawaii. I don't live every day of my life longing and wishing that I lived there, because the reality is the gas is $1 a gallon more expensive than it is in the West Coast. And how many of you know the West Coast is super steep out there? My family, see, this is what we run up against with fantasy about a place. Or what about, can I go to the face part? Oh, I wish I was married to that person. Oh, I wish I was married to him. He is so sweet. He is so loving. He is so caring. Baby, you don't know much about him. And you don't know the skeletons that he has in his closet. It's a dose of what? Reality, isn't it? So how much do we escape? Let me say here, this is a very profound insight, church family. Let's wrap our hearts around this insight that I'm about to give you. Do you realize that with places or with faces or with spaces, the less you know about that, let me flesh it out in a more concrete way. If you think you're infatuated or you have a crush on a certain guy or a certain girl, can I take it even further than that? Let's say you're already married and you have a crush on somebody else. I know I'm not preaching to you guys. I'm preaching to everybody else. But, okay? And you have a crush on them. And the less you know about them, do you realize that your mind will fill those unknown spaces with what you would like for them to be rather than what they really, really are? There's nothing for us in escape. Let's go with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 30. Anybody getting something good of the message so far? Good teaching. Isaiah chapter 30. We'll jump into verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. Notice, in returning there, he's meaning in returning to him, in returning to God. If we've been away, if we have fled in escape, okay? And by returning to him, what will we find? Rest. And you shall be saved. We will find rest and salvation. Salvation from what? From our wandering ways, from our impulses to try to escape. Notice, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Now let me ask you a question. If you are truly inwardly quiet and you have inner confidence, will you want to escape? No. You know, I remember it was about a year ago when I was a hospice chaplain, and there was a sweet lady, very godly lady, and I had asked her what her favorite Bible verse was. She was in her early 90s, and without hesitation, she said, I have learned in whatever state that I'm in, am therewith to be content. Philippians chapter 4. I thought, wow, what a powerful, powerful verse of scripture and reality to make your favorite verse. I have learned therewith to be content in whatever condition of life I find myself in. Isn't that powerful? I love that. And that's the true key instead of escape. Contentment. Let's read on. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not have any of it. Uh-oh. Do you see that? I love the scripture because God doesn't pull any punches, does he? Nope. But you would not. In other words, you wouldn't have any of it. You wouldn't have my offer of rest and quietness and confidence. He says, and you said no, for we will do what? Is that escape? We will flee on horses. Therefore, God says, you shall flee. And we shall ride on what kind of horses? Swift. Swift horses. Man, these people don't like their place in life, do they? They're getting out. They're yelling, Cal gone. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. See what that verse is saying? Listen, my family, no matter how, what places, geographical places you escape to, no matter what faces or spaces you escape to, your problems are going to catch up with you. Your pursuers shall be swift. Whatever you're trying to escape from will catch up with you and overtake you. Is that a key without a lock, church family? That's a key without a lock, isn't it? Escape is not the answer. And by the way, I don't think I've ever heard a message of this nature, but it's in the Word. Verse 16, and you said, no, for we will flee on horses, therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. Verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. Isn't that sad? People becoming so skittish and so fearful that they flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you shall all flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain, no, like a tree stripped of branches. You shall be barren. You won't bear fruit. You will be unproductive in your life by escaping. And as a banner on a hill, verse 18, therefore the Lord will wait. What will the Lord wait on? Listen. God will wait till you're done escaping and come back to him. You hear that? God will wait till you're done escaping and you come back to him. Isn't that what the father, whose son, the prodigal son, when the son left the father, isn't that what the father was doing at home? Not only waiting, but he was out doing what? Looking for his son. I love the Lord. This is great. Therefore, the Lord will wait. That he may be what? That he may judge you and beat you upside the head, forever leaving him. Is that what it says? That he may be gracious to you. I love that. And therefore he will be exalted, that he may have what on you? Mercy. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Isn't that beautiful, church family? I thank God that the Lord is waiting whenever I flee. And let me say here, we all have little areas. We might not flee wholeheartedly from the Lord, but we all have little areas. Come on, somebody. That we have not surrendered to Jesus, and we have our own little escapes. And boom, we have, maybe we might not ride off on swift horses, but we'll ride off on a donkey. Come on, burro, since we're doing Spanish. Andale, andale. Oh, I love, how many of you love laughter at church? Amen. You know, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord how often? Always and again. I say rejoice. I love our church. I love that we laugh, Lyle. Thank you. So listen, in conclusion, has this been a good message? Amen. Some of you are saying, this is short and I like it. Listen, in conclusion, listen, this is a key without lock. Escape, it's a key without lock. There is nothing to find on the other end of your having fled. It will be empty to you. It will be like a tree without branches, stripped of branches. It'll be barren. It'll be dead. It'll be empty on the other side of your escape. And the Lord is waiting on us for us to return to him. Maybe we're not doing it with the totality of our lives, but in some areas in our lives, we have not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And listen, as I say this, I'm speaking for myself, or I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to anybody else. Listen, my friends, wave the white flag of surrender, because God longs to be gracious to us, and he longs to be merciful to us. Let's pray. Teach us contentment, Jesus. Teach us, Lord, that in whatever state we find ourselves in, therewith to be content. We love you. We glorify you. We worship you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.